South of the Six podcast, bringing you the latest on your Toronto Raptors. Now, here are your hosts, Connor Chambers and Adam Corsair.
They did it. 41-41. They did it for 3 weeks. 4 weeks? Multiple weeks in a row, the Raptors remained in ninth place and finished the season 41-41. If you recall, in the beginning of the season, Vegas had them at 47.5. We said smash the over. Hopefully you didn't listen to us, because you would have lost money. Welcome to the South of the Six podcast. We are part of the StadiumScene.tv network. Joining me, it's Connor Chambers, the glorious Vegas king himself. Connor, how are we?
Vegas loves me because they would have just been sucking in my money. All right. But what do we say at the beginning of every podcast lately?
Don't listen to us.
Don't listen to us in ninth place.
Unless, listen to us if you want solid Sacramento Kings content. Otherwise.
East of the Sac.
East of the Sac.
Oh Lord, Sac City.
Sac City.
Like, well, at least they don't have to play the Lakers, and now they're, you know, now they actually have somewhat of a fighting chance in the first round.
You think they have more of a chance against Golden State than they would against the Lakers?
Yes.
I think the opposite.
Well, I think either way they would have been in trouble. Like, I think that either matchup for them is really tough.
Home court.
I understand.
It's big.
I think that will go 6 or 7.
Okay.
Respectable. I do think Sacramento will take some games at home, because that crowd in Sacramento, you know, I jokingly shit on the Sacramento Kings. I think it's because I tried to knock you off your
your
literal throne for the Kings.
Yes.
But honestly, what they've done this year has been nothing short of impressive. We've already talked about Coach of the Year candidates and how that's basically a closed discussion and closed case, like end of discussion in both of our opinions. Sacramento, they haven't been to the playoffs in 20 years. Their fan base is really solid from everything that I've seen, especially too on social media clips when we've gone out to play them on the road and stuff too. They're hungry for a playoff win. I think it's scary to play a team that has been in the playoffs for years and has that fan base that's really hungry to do so, to get that win. It's not going to be easy for Golden State, but I still think that Golden State get that done.
Well, that's Western Conference stuff. We're going to try to keep this one a little bit shorter than per usual.
We'll see how that goes.
Yeah, exactly. Raptors round one, facing a familiar foe. Round one, first game of the play-in, I should say, against the Chicago Bulls. Before we get into that, I do want to say that I was present in Boston Friday night.
Do you want to tell us how that went?
If anybody that is a diehard Raptors fan that was considering making the trip to Boston to see them against the Celtics, I say this every time I go, and I live here, I recommend it. When I see the Bills in Gillette, I'm heckled, I'm threatened, it's dangerous. That's not hyperbole. When I see the Red Sox versus the Jays in Fenway, it can get a little spicy, mostly just verbal. When I see the Raptors against the Celtics at the Garden, nice fans, nice fan base.
That's incredible. Mm-hmm. My parents went to see the Bruins take on the Leafs.
Yeah.
And they had a very similar experience. Going, like, traveling to TD Garden, they ran into some fans on public transport that weren't the nicest. And that was outside of the stadium. But once they were in there, they were treated really well. So that, to me, is, I mean, same stadium. Yeah. So it's kind of not surprising, maybe. Maybe it's just the, you know, maybe it's the geography of it. But that's really good to hear, actually. That's really positive, because I think that the worst fans typically are either from New York or from Philly.
Philly.
I would say probably Philly, but I haven't had that personal experience just from like what I've seen and heard. But whenever you go to like Rangers games, there are literal death threats to you and your family. Yeah. And I'm like, holy shit. Like, come on, man. Like, it's a hockey game. Like, fuck. But
Try seeing an Eagles game.
Yeah.
As an opposing fan. Yeah, I don't want to.
No, I'm good. I'll pass.
Regarding the game on Friday, that was by far the worst I have ever seen them play in person. Obviously, we've been through some down years watching some really shit Raptors team. But given the expectations that this team had from the jump, given the exceeding of expectations last season coming off Tampa, that was the worst game I've seen since the bubble. Like, I don't count Tampa. So that was just a terrible game. They looked disinterested. Lots of sloppy turnovers. Celtics just dominated every single possession, and the Raptors didn't have a prayer. Did not make me feel at all confident heading into the play-in. I do not look too far into Sunday's game, and I advise people not to as well, because it seemed like just an exhibition game. Didn't seem like, I mean, Milwaukee, but Dragic, like...
Yeah, Milwaukee, I'm just quickly pulling up their box score just to see who they, because they did have a lot of people sitting.
Yeah.
Just need to do like a recap here. From the quick take a look at the box score, obviously there is no Antetokounmpo. I don't see, well, if you maybe talk about the other Antetokounmpo brother, yeah. Then yeah, there was, but there's no Antetokounmpo, there's no Holiday, Middleton. So those are the top three already eliminated, right? Like, for us, we didn't have Siakam. We didn't have OG. So it really felt like an exhibition game from that perspective. Going back to the Celtics game, yeah, it's really bad when you're letting Sam Hauser score 26 on you.
Yeah.
Like, that guy, like, look, every NBA player is an NBA player for a reason, because they're, like, one of the best players to play the game. But, like, obviously, there's still skill levels within the NBA, and you don't want a guy like Sam Hauser putting 26 on your head. Peyton Pritchard, this is a guy that always seems to, like, go off on the Raptors, too. Mm-hmm. I don't know why, but he's got, like, a vendetta against the Raptors for some fucking weird reason, and... 22 from Peyton Pritchard in 24 minutes. Sam Hauser logged the most minutes. Sam Hauser played 37 minutes.
Yep.
Shot 6 of 12 from 3, 10 of 16 from the field. 26 points, 5 rebounds. Hey, man. It allowed Jason Tatum to play 20 minutes, and they still got an almost 20-point W.
We were debating whether or not he was going to play the second half at all.
Yeah. Yeah. Fred VanVleet had a stinky game.
He got hurt.
Yes, he did. He still logged 31 minutes, but shot 3 of 11 from the field, 2 of 6 from 3. You know, Scotty Barnes, OG, they kind of had stinky games too, and then that's sort of what happens to Gary Trent. Not the most efficient nights from him, and down it goes once that happens. So
every single Raptor starter in the minus column, every single Celtic starter in the plus column.
Yes.
Terrible.
Yes.
Unless you're a Correct. Celtics fan. So that being said, I wanted to set the scene because I might have a little bit of recency bias heading into this game on Wednesday, the first playing game. And I just wanted to give people a little bit of a preface of where my head's at, because I've seen it in front of my face with actual starters.
I seen it.
Playing against actual starters. And let's not forget that the Raptors also coughed one up against Boston without Jason Tatum and without Marcus Smart on the floor. the game previously, the Wednesday before, I believe. So, not a lot of confidence heading into this, but let's try to break it down as much as possible. The good news is that if the Raptors were going to face anybody heading into this, I think we even said this, the most comfortable team we would be with the Raptors facing was Chicago. However, I don't know if that's necessarily a great thing in a vacuum, because analyzing these two teams, they are so fucking similar. It is ridiculous. And it is going to be so hard to not only predict with accuracy, but I believe on Wednesday this is going to be perhaps the worst quote-unquote playoff game in terms of entertainment.
Oh, sure. I mean, both teams, when you take a look at, you know, their defensive and offensive numbers, they're very similar, and like you're alluding to, pretty solid defensive teams, both of them. Not the most efficient offensively, or at least in terms of points per game totals. I think for the Bulls, the having Lonzo Ball out for this year and potentially almost all of next year as well is a big time loss for them. I think that can't be understated. Lonzo Ball helped to really move the rock for this team. Not having a facilitator like that really hurts the flow of this offense. You really see in a guy like DeMar DeRozan a bit, just not getting the right opportunities for him. Not saying he's not capitalizing on them and that he's not scoring, but it's just like, you know, just to make things move around a bit.
Sure.
Guys like DeRozan, Zach LaVine, they kind of would probably thrive on a little bit better ball movement and stuff like that. So I do think it's going to be pretty dry. It's going to be really gritty. I mean, if you're a fan of defense and you're a fan of that, of that style of game, this might be the game for you. Like, if you're a fan of the old school style of basketball where it's like, you know, maybe the first team to 100 points is going to win this one type of deal, then sure, you know. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. I do have to say, though, my perspective on it is the same as yours. I think that this is a good matchup for Toronto in terms of those four play-in teams. This is the one that we both wanted to face first.
Yes.
And if you're really hoping that the Raptors get into the playoffs, this might be a good match to springboard them into the next match, right? Because if this goes the way that we are hoping it's going to go, or the way that we're expecting it to go with a Raptors win, if they can have that win and have that confidence moving in with a W against a team that's coming off a loss, might mean that the Raptors can use that momentum to propel them into the playoffs. Either way, they're going to have to play Milwaukee, and that's going to be really hard. Surprise, surprise.
Yeah.
Giannis and company are not going to be pushovers in this playoffs. But if you're hoping the Raptors can just get in there and you know, make something of a series, then this is probably the path to do it. I don't know if, you know, playing any other team would allow the Raptors to be in a fortuitous opportunity to be able to win this like 9-10 game and then go into the next game and try to win that one as well.
The thing about this game that I don't want to say concerns me, but we're relying heavily on players getting right at this time, right? So everything is do or die right now with this team. And when you're slumping as hard as they have been, and again, I don't count the Milwaukee game.
Yeah.
When you're slumping this hard, it's kind of like you're limping into the playoffs and say, okay, we're just happy to be here. But the good news is that when it comes to the season, the Raptors do have the edge, winning two games out of three against Chicago.
Sure.
And a cumulative score, they have outscored the Bulls by 1 point, 314 to 313. So that goes to show how similar they are. Looking at the point differentials, Toronto was a plus 1.5. Chicago was a plus 1.3. offensive points per game. Toronto 111.4, Chicago 111.8. We'll give them the edge, 112. Mm-hmm. Sorry, that's the opponent's points per game. The team points per game is, we'll just say 113 apiece.
Yeah.
Yeah, very similar. Away record, Toronto has a slightly shittier away record, 14-27. Chicago has 18-23. Home record, this is where the Raptors have the edge, 27 wins, 14 losses, where Chicago is on the road, 22-19. Mm-hmm. So the Raptors have the home court, 27 wins out and 14 losses. That's, if we're just going by home court, that spells good news for the Raptors. It just is a matter of things clicking. And when you look at Fred VanVleet, when's the last time we recorded? Was it the...
The last time we recorded was last week.
Yeah, was it Thursday?
On Tuesday the 4th.
Tuesday the 4th. So since then, for the past three games, Fred now has been averaging 11.7 points per game. We'll call it 12.
Wow, shocking.
26.5% from the field, 26% from three. This is at about 32 minutes a game, albeit three games. Still 6.3 assists, but otherwise, this is the person that you really need to get hot with outside shooting, and he's just not there right now.
Adam, do you remember last podcast what I was mentioning as my concern for this team?
Ebbs and flows from Fred VanVleet.
Mm-hmm. Are we seeing a low point with Fred VanVleet going into the playoffs?
The numbers indicate that. The numbers indicate a regression, and the injury concern to the thumb, I believe, is not adding any sort of confidence to that.
I've just seen this song and dance with him time and time again. And I, like I said, when he's on, and he's such an asset to the team, but you're not, like, you are not doing your organization, your team a service in the off season by paying this guy $25 to $30 million a year to be this inconsistent. Like, you are you'd be paying a guy near max dollars. Let's call semi max for this, you know, labeling term, to go out there and average, you know, in a span of whatever, even though it's a very small sample size, to be kind of averaging these 11 points per game, 25% shooting going into the most important part of your season. If we being the Raptors, me being like, oh, we are the Raptors. If the Raptors are going into the playoffs as like a 2 seed, a 3 seed, you know, a championship contender, legitimate 1st to 3rd seed, and having Fred VanVleet at this level, that is a massive concern. You are building this team to be a championship contender. Obviously, we're not there right now. So the importance of that is not as, you know, magnified.
Of course.
But you can't sit there and look at this and say that is fine. Right? Because this is red flag central. You can't look at that and say this player is worth X amount of dollars if they're going to continuously show you time and time again that they are inconsistent and cannot be relied on when it matters. This is a massive red flag for me. And I don't know how the Raptors approach this. They may, like you said, out of necessity, have to bring him back for this. But I just don't know how you tread this. And for me, this is the most pivotal decision for the Raptors moving into the offseason, is what the fuck do they do with Fred VanVleet? Because you can't continue like this. You can't look at this and say that this is normal or that this is acceptable. And maybe try to time it where he's optimized going into a playoffs and, you know, cross your fingers and whatever, because you can have something like this where he was hot for the last month, because he was hot for the last month. And now over these last three games, he's looking like the dollar store version of Fred VanVleet. So which one are you going to get?
Well, I have no doubt that he's going to play on Wednesday. In fairness, day to day with them, they did not need him on Sunday. Mm-hmm. I think he's going to play. If he doesn't play, he's not coming back. He's not coming back.
Though, yeah.
But I don't think that's anything we have to worry about. I think he's going to play. I think it's going to be all hands on deck, and I think we're going to see the starters play approximately 38 to 40 minutes that game.
Shocking.
Both teams. Because both teams bench minus Gary Trent is just baby diaper doo-doo.
Abysmal.
Yeah. So
baby I agree diaper with you. Doo-doo. I love that.
I think Fred VanVleet is getting cold at the wrong time. We sort of hyped it up on the last podcast. I hope it's on. I mean, the home crowd should elevate him. I just think this team, it's going to be a matter of who gets hot first. And whoever gets hot first, if they're going to have the type of, they being the Raptors, are going to have the type of defensive performance that they did when I saw them against the Celtics, this game's going to be over by the second quarter.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But if they play to their potential, I think it's going to be close. And like you alluded to earlier, it's not going to be an offensive-heavy game. It's going to be very defensive-heavy, probably on the back of OG Anunoby. I think the team led the league in steals per game, if I'm not mistaken. I saw that tweet, or maybe it was a franchise record for steals. I don't know. This game just rubs me the wrong way because it's hard to find a clear-cut team with an advantage. I just think on paper, the Raptors should have a better starting five. And if we're talking about them playing predominantly all the minutes, they should win this game. But there have been a lot of shoulds that the Raptors had coming their way that we thought were coming their way. And that they just didn't come into fruition.
Sure.
So it's hard for me to trust.
I mean, the only things that really sort of jump out to me that you had alluded to, home and away records, Raptors sit at 27-14 at home. The Bulls are 18-23 on the road. I think that's a factor. Obviously, a season-long sample size of 41 games apiece on both those ends to determine this, right? And that comes into play. It's clearly evident that the Raptors are a lot better at home than on the road. On the road, obviously, they're 41-41. You flip those numbers around. On the road, they're 14-27. That puts them at the same road record as the Orlando Magic and the Charlotte Hornets. The only team worse than them on paper in the East for away record is the Detroit Pistons at 8-33.
Mm-hmm.
So the Raptors can win this one. Going into the next match, I am still a bit worried because they can't seem to buy a game on the road. But I think at home, you know, they have one of the better home winning records in the East. They have a better home winning record than the New York Knicks, the Brooklyn Nets, the Atlanta Hawks, Chicago Bulls. They're tied with the Miami Heat. The only teams that are better than them in the East in terms of home winning records are the Milwaukee Bucks, the Boston Celtics, Philadelphia 76ers, and Cleveland Cavaliers, the top four teams.
Yeah.
But that's also because they have, you know, a hell of a lot more wins than the Raptors. At least 10 or more. So those good teams find ways to win on the road too. And the Raptors can find ways to win on the road.
We're talking about things that make us a little bit pessimistic. Fred VanVleet being probably the main
culprit.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Nick Nurse still maybe being a close second, although I'd like to think Nick Nurse and his, at least his ideas or his intentions for the future won't get in the way of this game. I think he's going to.
Hey, nope. Man, Steven Silas just got the boot.
I know.
Casey gone, too. Uh-oh.
I was saying to my buddy.
Reuniting in Toronto.
I would not doubt it. We'll get to that in a bit. I actually have feelings about what's probably going to happen. or what I think will happen. But I don't think Nick Nurse's future as a head coach for the Houston Rockets probably is going to is going to inhibit how he coaches on Wednesday. So those are my concerns. Just the overall vibe of the team, how they haven't been gelling. They don't seem to be getting along. They seem to be getting in their own way. They seem to be not knocking down shots. Fred VanVleet is not, you know, being a leader. It just doesn't seem conducive to a win. What gives me confidence, however, comes down to two players. Three players. Pascal Siakam, OG Anunoby, and Jakob Poeltl. I think Jakob Poeltl versus Vucevic is entertaining. I mean, it's not scoring. There's no high octane offense there. But I'd like to think, coming from a Pop system, Jakob Poeltl was probably a better rim protector at this point than Vucevic, and I think that will be a huge, if not a huge, a slight advantage to the Raptors on Wednesday.
Mm-hmm. I agree. You need guys that are going to get boards. I think the rebounding game is going to be incredibly important in this matchup. Second chance points, second chance opportunities, limiting them or getting them, depending on what side of the glass you're on, is going to be vital here, especially because we said that and there may be a lack of offense and an increased emphasis on defense here. So getting those second chance opportunities, getting those offensive defensive rebounds, and limiting or creating the opportunities for yourself are going to be really important. For me, when I take a look at this game and we notice how similar every single team, every single stat besides the home and away records are, a lot of times I look and I say, who's the best player in the series? And for me, you know, you have to look on the Chicago Bulls. You say, you know, Zach LaVine is still a great player. DeMar DeRozan can turn up in the playoffs when he needs to. But in my point of view, Pascal Siakam is the best player between these two teams. And when you put OG on someone potentially like a Zach LaVine or DeMar DeRozan, depending on what Nick Nurse wants to do, it wouldn't surprise me to see them, you know, limited in a certain capacity on the offensive side, and Pascal would be able to shine through. So for me, I think that I tend to lean towards the best player in a one-off game like that, giving the slight edge for me to Toronto. Can take a look between Miami and Atlanta and say, you know, who do you choose, Jimmy or Trey? We had this conversation before, and I said, you know, I still think, you know, Jimmy is really good in the playoffs, but and he guaranteed a win against the Atlanta Hawks. So it's a little bit crazy because I do like Atlanta in that series, but I'll take Trey. He did guarantee a win, so we will see if his guarantee comes through. But we know what he's like in the playoffs too. It's one of those playoff performers. But OG, if he can help with some secondary or you know, I'll say secondary scoring, because I'm not going to rely on Fred VanVleet for that at this point right now, given what we've said about his concerns. If we can rely on OG for some secondary scoring and playing that elite level of defense that's even more important in the playoffs, I think this could be the Raptors' game to win.
The one thing that does concern me on Chicago's end, let me first say, I agree with you fully that I think Pascal Siakam is the best player on the floor. Mm-hmm. However, this is not, I'm not analyzing this as it offsets Pascal Siakam. This is not a, now it's a wash. Maybe it's because of the meme. Maybe it's because of the attitude and he tends to get in people's heads. But Pat Bev is an X factor.
I knew you were coming with Pat Bev.
He's a factor for the Bills. I mean, the Bulls.
The Bills.
He's a factor for Chicago. And, I mean, he's a vet. He knows how to play mind games. He knows how to get in the headspace players. I can see him rattling a Scotty Barnes. I can see him rattling a Gary Trent. I think the remainder of the team is pretty even keeled. But we talked about the lack of playoff experience for Scotty Barnes. You have Pat Bev get a little physical with Scotty. Scotty's not going to be on the good end of that whistle.
No. No, he won't. Depending on where, depending on who Pat Bev wants to get in his face about, but we'll see. I mean, I think that that's, you hope that that potential matchup is something that's highlighted with the coaching staff and the potential players that match up against him are coached well enough and made aware of his antics and what he's going to try to do and how to approach it from a physicality and a mental standpoint. These are things that you hope are discussed, because it's not like you're coming off one regular season game into the next, so just running through the Bulls one day and then we're back onto something else and it's okay, well, like, handle it how you want to, whatever. There's enough runway here. There's enough lead up time to figure out how to approach something like this. You have, you know, the last game was played on Sunday. You have two off days to prepare for this. You really fucking hope they're going through some film or something to see what he's going to do to you, how handsy he's going to be, the things he's going to say, how to stay calm, how to handle it. Who are the referees in this game? How do they call that stuff? Right? Like, these are things that have to be, that have to be analyzed from the coaching staff to be conveyed to the team. If it's not, then just fucking walk out the door. But I still, you know, we said our things about Nick Nurse, and I still believe that the coaching staff are going to do that. So it will be a factor, but hopefully the team knows how to handle it.
In terms of a sixth man, we're looking at Gary Trent and probably Caruso. I give the advantage to Trent, and I don't think it's necessarily close.
I agree. I do like what Caruso's done this year, but I think it's a Gary Trent thing for sure.
Yeah, there's your scoring off the bench. I don't think Caruso necessarily offers you that much. Or as much, I should say, as a Gary Trent. That being said, you know, back at home, they get to stay at home. Jurassic Park is going to be available for the fans. This is what the deadline was about. This is what they didn't trade for. This is what they didn't trade away in exchange for. They wanted a quote-unquote playoff opportunity. Here it is. There's no use debating on whether this was the right move, because we're here. Gun to your head. What do you got?
In this game?
Unless there's anything else you want to cover before we get there.
No.
Gun to your head.
Raptors will win this game. If I have to put a point total, I'll say 106. 100.
So relatively low.
Yeah. If it's any consolation to you, the lines right now currently for Vegas have the Raptors favored by 5.5.
Okay.
And I think that's a very fair line.
To your point, the last time the Raptors faced the Bulls, they won by 6 points, 104-98. So you're giving them a bucket more each.
Each. Sure.
I think the Raptors have a better starting lineup on paper.
Mm-hmm.
I think the Raptors have the advantage of the sixth man. I don't think the bench is going to be a factor. And if we see a full bench or three bodies outside of Gary Trent Jr. coming on the floor for extended periods of time, we've lost this game.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing with Chicago. That being said, like I said, my eyes did not deceive me this past Friday. I saw how this team performed. I did not like what I saw. They seemed disinterested. They seemed not with it. There's no chemistry. They seemed frustrated. Their body language, even with Nick Nurse, wasn't great. I think the Raptors are going home after this game. I think Chicago's taking this, and it's going to be close. I'm going to say 99-96.
Oh, Chicago. My God.
Yeah. I don't trust this team's shooting. I don't trust the Raptors.
You're so jaded after that game.
Yeah.
Drunkenly got tickets, so pissed off that you watched an absolute dog shit performance. It was some nice seats, by the way, I might add. But just a dog shit performance. You were pissed right off. I don't blame you.
I saw how they were. And you know who looks pissed? And I can't say I blame him. Thad.
Mm.
He was, I think, 15 games away of hitting a bonus about 30 games ago. And he hasn't played since. And I think that was by design. So they wouldn't have to pay him.
Hmm. It's quite annoying, isn't it?
I don't remember the last time he played. Hold on, let me look.
Yeah, DNP coach's decision against Boston. And DNP coach's decision against Milwaukee when you have guys like
he has Ron not played
Harper.
Since
Ron
March.
Harper getting 22 minutes a yeah. night for us there.
March 14th. He has not played since March 14th.
What's his deal?
He would have gotten monetary incentive. He would have hit it.
Hmm. Hmm. That's interesting, you know, honestly, because Thad Young is one of the really good guys in the league. Mm-hmm. They brought him in for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder, I mean, that's probably a reasonable conclusion.
Wouldn't you want this playoff experience? At least off the bench?
Yeah, I mean, or at least giving you some good defensive, you know, intensity, someone that can calm the floor with the bench unit if things start unraveling.
Mm-hmm.
It's definitely questionable. But, you know, there's been a lot of things where I've had head scratchers this season and said, what the fuck is going on? But what do I know?
Yeah, I say Toronto coughs this one. Sorry. I want to be wrong. And
I think they win this game. And I think they cough the next game. Like, I don't think they win two in a row.
They're not beating Miami or Atlanta.
No, I don't think so. But you know what? Hey, at the end of the day, they still put themselves in the lottery.
Yeah, what do they have? The 13th best odds or something like that?
They would have, if they lose this game, they would technically be the 10th seed, and they would have the 13th odds. I believe that's how that works. I could be wrong. I don't know if it's still based on record in the after the like the play-in, or if it's actually based on like the play-in results. You know what I mean?
Right.
As it currently stands, I believe the Bulls have the 12th odds. So if the Bulls beat Toronto, I don't know if Toronto takes that, or because Toronto is the 13th right now. So I don't know if they like overtake them for that. Like I'm not too sure, to be honest. You know, Tank Nation is cheering for a loss here, to be completely honest, because it puts them into some type of conversation lottery, which, you know, you never really see those teams move up.
Right.
Which is honestly very fair. And I think would be awful if they did move up, but, you know.
So I mentioned earlier about the coaching.
Hmm.
We can just wrap this up real quick. I think Nick Nurse goes.
Yes.
Wouldn't surprise me if Adrian Griffin gets the nod.
Mm-hmm.
But hot take. Pop?
What? Wait.
Isn't his time with San Antonio almost up?
I'm not saying that Pop wouldn't leave San Antonio. But I think if Pop's done with San Antonio, I think he retires.
I think that's more likely too.
I don't think he would be interested in coaching a team that's like in the middle of the pack. Like the Raptors' road to a championship is at least 2 to 3 years away. At least. Like I'm being really generous on our end on that timeline. Like realistically, you're probably looking at about 4 years before you start like seriously competing. You know, at that 2 to 3 year mark, you're probably, you know, fourth to fifth seed, can make a run about a round or two. But to be serious contender is going to take at least 4 years.
You don't think Pop brings more attention and potential free agents into Toronto?
I do. I'm not saying that I would be opposed to it. That's not what I'm saying.
I'm just saying it would shorten the window.
Maybe by a year.
Okay.
At the end of the day, you still have to build it right. Okay. You know, you still have to build this with the proper intention. Like you can, if you want to do it quickly, that's fine. But your window of opportunity, in my opinion, is, you know, if you want to speed up the process, ultimately your window in relativity is not as long. Because you're not looking to like build something from the ground up in that case where you have like young guys and you're building something, a core foundation, blah, blah, blah. You know, maybe looking at how, for example, the Jays have been trying to do it with, you know, building up through all their draft and stuff like that. Now you see they have this window of like multiple years. But if you're going to do it this way, you could shorten the time it takes to get there. But I don't think you're talking about bringing in talent, bringing in people that are probably already established. Your window probably decreases in that time, right? So it depends on what the Raptors want to do. Saying that, again, I'm not opposed to it at all. Pop is the greatest coach of all time. Sorry, Phil Jackson lovers, but that's just the case.
Yeah.
So no, I would never be opposed to it. I just don't think that's realistic. But you did say hot take, hot so take. I'm not gonna slander you for it. It's not like you're saying it's going to happen. So I respect it. I think if you were like seriously buying into it, then I'd be fuck. I don't know, man. But that would be interesting. I don't know if we can consider Adrian Griffin. Like Adrian Griffin had some issues with himself too. If you're going to talk about Adrian Griffin, you have to include Ime Udoka.
I think it's a little louder than Griffin.
Sure. There was definitely a lot more emphasis to it, but Adrian Griffin was an assistant coach. He was not taking over one of the most prominent franchises.
Fair.
In basketball, no, right?
That's fair.
This will surface again. Should he become a head coach?
Yeah, no doubt.
Right? Whereas, like, the Ime Udoka thing is already out. I think if you're considering Adrian Griffin, which talent-wise, I think he could be a head coach in this league. If you're considering him, I think you have to consider Ime Udoka.
Yeah.
And that's why I think that they would lean towards something like an Ime Udoka.
I know we joked about it. Dwayne Casey's not coming back. That's...
No. But maybe he wants to be an assistant.
No, not for Toronto.
Why not?
Because, dude, they did him dirty.
They did.
He's not coming back. He's so salty.
They did, but maybe. Didn't he say he still has a house here? Or that he didn't sell his house?
I don't know.
Or something like
that? He's not coming back. I don't want him to.
He's an assistant. No. I'm kind of trolling. Would it surprise me? I don't think so.
So John Gibbons.
But do I think it's going to happen? No. But would it surprise me? No. If that makes sense.
Would surprise me. It's a significant step back.
It would surprise me if he came back as a head coach. I'd be like, what the fuck?
Yes.
right? That would surprise me. I think if you brought him in as an assistant, it wouldn't surprise me. I think that call ultimately leans to the players.
And the only one with familiarity of him is OG, Pascal, and
Fred.
Yeah. And Yak.
Yeah, and Yak. So, assuming we don't know what happens with Fred in the offseason, but, you know, maybe if, like, those three, let's eliminate Fred out of there, those three of OG, Pascal, and Jakob, if they're, like, he'd be a great guy in our locker room, depending on who you're bringing in as a head coach here. If you're bringing in Pop, you would never bring in.
You don't need him.
Dwayne Casey.
You don't need him,
right? Because they're similar in their philosophies in a way, and Dwayne becomes a little bit redundant. Mm-hmm. And you don't need that type of voice in there when you have such a strong-willed leader like a Popovich,
right?
So, but saying that though, I think this is going to be a very, very, this will be one of the most interesting off seasons for the Raptors we've seen in a very long time. There is a lot of decisions to be made here, and we're going to learn the direction of this team very, very quickly.
All right. Well, that being said, let's do a quick rundown of the mm-hmm. of the tournament, and we'll call it a show. Atlanta versus Miami. You seem heavy on Miami because of the experience. Is that what we're talking about?
No. I like Atlanta.
Okay.
Miami are 5.5-point favorite in this game. I do like Atlanta. I think they have the best player in this series in Trae Young. I think that they've shown that they can go into another arena and like be on the road and still clutch out those games.
Okay.
I think that Trae Young is ready for this. And I think that Miami are going, I think Miami are a little too confident. Like I didn't really like seeing those comments from Jimmy Butler. You guys have been dog shit all year.
Yeah, I don't like it either.
All year you've been dog shit and you're like, oh, well, we'll fucking win. Like I'm gonna turn up. He basically was like, I'm gonna be a, like, this is gonna be a playoff performance from Jimmy Butler. I'm like, no.
Okay.
So if they were really like, if you're trying to tell me that you weren't playing in a playoff performance type of beat for the last little bit of the season to try to get that six seed, which you were only a game back of, then I'm sorry, I can't buy anything you're saying. So I'll take Atlanta in that one. What about you?
Yeah, I'll go Atlanta.
Mm-hmm.
Only because if the Raptors do succeed, I'd like them to face Miami.
Yes.
All right. Pelicans, Thunder. Hot take. I'm going Thunder.
Pelicans, Thunder is opening as a 5.5-point favorite for the Pelicans. Pelicans are hosting at home.
Mm-hmm.
Pelicans have a 27-14 record at home, same as Toronto. The Oklahoma City Thunder 16-25 on the road. I will take the New Orleans Pelicans in this one. They have a 7-3 record over the last 10. Oklahoma City Thunder 4-6 over the last 10. I like the way that New Orleans is playing as of late. And while Shea is the best player in that series, kind of going against what I was saying before, I think that the Pelicans do have a little bit more of that experience with them, and I think Brandon Ingram will come to play. So I'll take the Pelicans.
Both taking L.A. over Minnesota?
Yeah, L.A. easily over Minnesota. No Rudy Gobert for the Minnesota Timberwolves. Yeah. He is suspended for his pussy-ass shit that he was doing to his teammates. There was also a incident with Jaden McDaniels. He's out indefinitely after punching a wall and fracturing his hand. That is a massive loss.
Wow.
For the Minnesota Timberwolves. That was in the final game of the year. Like, they actually imploded in game 82. Their season's probably over. Like, I don't think that Minnesota will beat the winner of the Pelicans Thunder.
Same.
So that is over for the Minnesota Timberwolves. They are minus Rudy Gobert and Jaden McDaniels. And against a team like Los Angeles Lakers, you need really good defenders. And those are two really good defenders.
Yeah.
Both out for various reasons, but McDaniels, both of them stupid decisions, but for various reasons of why they're out. So.
All right. Well, that being said, I don't think it matters who ends up facing both Denver, Milwaukee, and both Memphis and Boston. I don't think it matters. Well, maybe if LA gets a beat on Memphis, but otherwise, I think Boston takes whoever they play. Milwaukee and Denver take whoever they play.
I think that Milwaukee and Boston will take whoever comes out of the play-in, and I think Denver will take the 8th seed. And if the Lakers win the 7th seed, I think that the Lakers will beat the Memphis Grizzlies in the playoffs. That is my hot take.
But I don't think they beat Denver.
No, I think the Lakers have to win against Minnesota, which they will. But if they win that game, they're playing Memphis.
No, I know. And if they beat Memphis, then they face Denver, right?
No.
Oh, I thought it was first plays the lowest seed.
No, it's like that bracket style of thing. So they would play the winner of Sacramento versus Golden State.
Oh, easy. Sac City.
And then you get the matchup. Hey, I'll cheer for Sacramento in the first round. If that means we get a Sac versus LA.
East of the sack.
Lakers, east of the sack.
Light the beam.
Nah, fuck. Oh my god, that beam's not getting lit once.
Light the beam.
Four game sweep. That beam's not getting lit up.
Please. All right. Well, hey, if the Raptors move on, cool. I don't think they can beat Atlanta, but I think they could beat Miami, and then they're gonna get fucking trampled. I think against Milwaukee. Whatever. And then I think that's a clean sweep, honestly, against Milwaukee. I think we've talked about that before. But look, I don't want them to lose against Chicago. I'm just very downtrodden by what I saw on Friday. I want to be wrong. I love playoff basketball. Everybody knows. It's just my confidence was shot. So if they can pull out if they can pull out a win, great. If not, well, we'll have some closing thoughts in a future episode.
Closing time.
Yeah. Well, look, that being said, thank you for listening. We hope that the Raptors prevail, obviously, and we hope you enjoyed the show. Side note, Jay's opening day in the Rogers Center is tomorrow, depending on when you're hearing this. We're recording this on Monday. So on Tuesday, the Jays open up in Rogers Center. If you are heading to that game, have fun, be safe. Looks like the stadium is really fucking cool.
It looks amazing. I've seen people going through doing little tours. I've seen the videos and stuff. I can't wait to go out this year and catch some games and explore the outfield section. Like that looks wicked.
Dude, it
looks
20 wicked. Bucks. 20 bucks and you can just chill in the outfield section.
I'm telling you, it is the way to go. People that were buying the 500s tickets are going to want to buy the outfield section and sit in there, and it becomes that much more of an experience, which is what baseball needs more of in ballparks, the experience factor, because a lot of people just get bored. Between the pitch clocks and these experience things, I think what baseball teams are doing and the league and stuff, it's a step in the right direction.
Yeah.
So I think kudos to both the league and the teams for kind of putting in that effort to keep fans engaged in that respect.
Well, if you're going, enjoy yourself, be safe. That being said, thanks for listening. If you enjoyed what you heard, please feel free to subscribe if you haven't already. We're on all your favorite podcatchers, and hit the subscribe button and lightly tap the subscribe button. We don't want you breaking screens on your phone. You can also follow us on Twitter at South of the Six. That is six, the number six and the letters IX. Hit us up on Twitter. Tell us what you think is going to happen in Wednesday's game. He is at Connor Chambers. I am at Adam Corsair, and we are done. Until Wednesday, go Raptors. Peace.
Thank you for listening to the South of the Six podcast. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter and Instagram at South of the Six and to subscribe to our show. We're on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify. Yeah, we're everywhere. While you're at it, if you liked what you heard, do us a solid and leave us 5 stars and a quick review. We appreciate it. Thanks again. Go Raptors.